Radio.
St. John Paul II, St. John Paul the Great, once wrote this: "Faith and reason are like two wings on which the human spirit rises to the contemplation of truth. And God has placed in the human heart a desire to know the truth, in a word, to know himself, so that by knowing and loving God, men and women may also come to the fullness of truth about themselves." That comes from Fides et Ratio, an encyclical on faith and reason and their relationship. The Church has always taught that faith and reason go together. They're both ways that we approach what we have been made to know and love. That's God himself, the truth itself. And I say this because some people think, mistakenly, that to have faith means believing in something without any evidence. That's not faith. Some people believe in a kind of blind faith where reason is left at the door, where we don't have to think about things. And if we think about that first reading about Abraham and his almost sacrificing Isaac, we might be tempted to look on that as an example of blind faith on the part of Abraham. After all, we hear that Abraham's about to go and sacrifice his son on this mountain in the land of Moriah, simply on God's say-so. So why isn't that blind faith? Why isn't Abraham just equivalent to someone who says they were just following orders? Well, I think the reason that Abraham brings to his faith is the fact that he knows God. Abraham has a relationship with God, and that makes all the difference, really. And we know that in our own experience, don't we? When someone who we know and love asks us to do something, we tend to trust them, you know, not without exceptions, maybe, because we know human beings are fallible, but we tend to trust them. And Abraham knew God. He didn't necessarily understand why God was asking what he did. Undoubtedly, he didn't understand that, but he knew God, and he knew he wasn't a vindictive tyrant out for his son's blood. Think of those first apostles who proclaimed the gospel, or think of St. Paul, who went all over the world proclaiming Jesus Christ. People believed and changed their lives because they saw that they were credible witnesses. Yes, they would have believed lots about their arguments. Their arguments would have made sense. That would have paved the way for their faith, but undoubtedly, they saw in these people, these witnesses, people who knew God, and how powerful that is for us. We're led to trust by encountering people who live out their relationship with God, people who are full of the love of God. But sometimes trusting people can be tricky. And sometimes trusting God can be tricky because we don't really understand the reasons he's asking of us certain things, or he's doing what he is doing in our life. The psalmist today says, "I trusted even when I said, I am sorely afflicted." In other words, I trusted even when I was suffering, even when life wasn't pleasant. Why does someone trust God through suffering and through trials, through temptation? Well, only because they know God. They have an unshakable confidence in God, that he is good. And times of affliction can be moments of testing, similar to the testing that Abraham went through. We can be tempted when we're in the midst of darkness to think that God's not at our side, he's not with us. But if we know God, if we truly know him, then we know that he can never leave our side. that he never stops loving us. His love will never leave us. We trust him because we know he is the truth itself, who can neither be deceived nor deceive. And God went to very extreme lengths to convince us of his love, to convince us of his nearness to us. He came to earth in the person of Jesus Christ. St. Paul says, "Since God did not spare his own son, but gave him up to benefit us all, we may be certain after such a gift that he will not refuse anything he can give." So if at any time we're puzzled at what God is doing in our life, if we're puzzled at why he's allowing us to go through trials, through suffering, we have to return time and time again to the person of Jesus Christ and the person of Jesus Christ crucified. We have to go to the reality of the cross. And remember that in the case of Jesus, there was no angel to stop that Roman soldier from hammering those nails into his hands. There was no one to restrain the hands of his executioners. Jesus had to enter through the gates of death in order to conquer death and suffering. But how does Jesus conquer death and suffering? Well, it's through the resurrection. We hear in the gospel about the event of the transfiguration, how Jesus goes up this mountain with Peter, James, and John. And his whole appearance has changed. We're told his clothes become dazzlingly white. In other words, heavenly. He takes on a very different appearance. And this is seen as an anticipation of the resurrection that Jesus is to accomplish. And of course, the resurrection of Jesus paves the way for our own resurrection. The moment when every tear will be wiped away from our eyes, when every suffering will be gone and death will be definitively conquered. But for that hope in the resurrection to be as strong and vibrant as it needs to be, to ensure that our faith is strong enough to persevere in the midst of trials, we have to be people of prayer. We have to spend time with God in prayer. Too often, prayer can be a bit of a monologue. At least that's usually my error. I spew out so many words. I tell God all my worries, all my woes. And I forget to actually leave God time to respond. I forget to give God silence. We can spend all our time speaking about ourselves and not give God any space to speak to our hearts. And if that's the case for us, then we need to listen to those words of the Father in the Gospel. He says, "This is my Son, the Beloved. Listen to him." We have to listen to the Lord. The Church speaks about the obedience of faith. The Catechism says to obey in faith is to submit freely to the word that has been heard, because its truth is guaranteed by God, who is truth itself. So in order to obey in faith, in order to believe, we must first hear what God is saying to us. And to hear, we must first listen. And in fact, the word obey actually comes from the Latin to hear or listen to. So if we don't spend time in silent prayer, if we don't have periods of silence in our life where we just listen to the Lord, our faith will not be able to grow, will fall away as soon as trials come. Listening to the Lord will strengthen our faith, and it will make prayer like a real relationship, which is what it's meant to be. So let's try in this holy season of Lent to give God the precious gift of our time, so that we might give him silence and hear what he has to say.
As a free, not-for-profit service, Cradio requires the support of people like you to help keep us going in our mission. To donate, visit cradio.org.au/donate.